In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, this fourth Sunday of Lent is traditionally called the Laetare Sunday. That name is taken from the first words of today's introit from the prophet Isaiah. Rejoice, O Jerusalem, and come together, all you who love her. Rejoice with joy, you who were in sadness, that you may exult and be filled from her consoling breast. A few verses later, in the passage of Isaiah, God tells us, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. In Jerusalem, you shall find your comfort. You will see, and your heart shall exult. Dear faithful, these words were given as a promise to those who were in exile in Babylon, that they would return to God's holy city, and both they and the city would have their sadness turned into joy as they received from the temple's God's comfort and consolations. That command to rejoice and the reason for it constitutes an important promise of hope for us as we continue our Lent. In the state of the deserts and our lifetime exile in this valley of tears, God wants us to know the end of the journey. He wants us to know why we do this Lent. He wants us to grasp that He is with us to strengthen us and console us, even those of us who are mourning, those of us who are sad over problems in the world, in their family or within. God wants us to know that He desires to console us like a loving mother. In the Gospel, we continue pondering the deep roots of joy. St. John tells us the setting. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. Indeed, Lent happens as Passover draws near. As we prepare for what Jesus did during that the new and eternal Passover on Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter. Jesus, through the miracle of the multiplication of loaves and fish, wanted to give us the taste of the nourishment that come from God and the comfort and consolation it brings. A large crowd was there because they had seen His miracles of curing the sick. Together with the joy of approaching Easter, this Sunday is about the heavenly Jerusalem we long for, which is anticipated in the Church and in the Most Holy Eucharist. The feeding of the 5,000 reveals the mercy and power of Christ on a grand scale. It's a dramatic moment, the only miracle recorded in all four Gospels. But even as it establishes divine pity and generosity, it also uncovers the imperfect affection of those who had just been the beneficiaries of Jesus' kindness. The people recognize Jesus as the Messiah, but they understand His sovereignty, His power, in earthly terms, in worldly terms. He is a solution to the problems of the moment, of today, and not first a God to be loved. And that is why Jesus departs from them. My kingship is not of this world, Jesus will tell later Pilate. And so after the multiplication of the loaves and fish, Jesus flees. Jesus escapes. Having failed to elicit the right response in the hearts of the chosen people. For the kingdom of God, St. Paul reminds us, is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. In this episode from the Gospel, the enthusiasm of the people contrasts with the disappointment of Jesus. Jesus lived an intensely happy human life, and his joy followed from a perfect and pure union of hearts with his Father, which expressed itself in his self-forgetfulness and self-gift. So since we are made in God's image and likeness, we can find our peace and joy, not in food and drink, understand, in all created things, but in righteousness and holiness, as St. Paul said, which means imitating the Son and with the help of his abundant grace, giving our hearts generously, and not in a form of business, commercial exchange. I will do this for you, so I expect you to do this for me. Jesus flees the crowd in sorrow. He performs an act of love in the hope of being loved in return. But our eyes too often fixed upon the gift have forgotten the giver or benefactor. How much does each of us wish to be loved for who we are and not for what we can do? Should we not think the same of our Lord, that he wants us to love him for who he is and not only for what he does for us? This is purity of hearts. Sacred Scripture is the story of a romance, the story of a pure and generous heart that came down from heaven, mounted the cross to free us from our selfishness and the burden of sin and the bad conscience to which that selfishness leads, that rises triumphantly from the grave and ascends into heaven, and then returns at each Mass to give himself to us in the Blessed Eucharist, which the miracle of the loaves prefigures. This is the quality of the love of Christ for me, for you, for us. A love so amazing, so divine, that demands our soul, our life, our all. It is through the Eucharist that God comforts us as a mother comforts her child. It is in the Eucharist that he prepares a rich feast. It's here where Jesus, who came into the world so that his joy might be in us and our joy might be complete, wishes to fill us with his joy as we enter into communion with him. And it's from here where he gives us the courage and the generosity to offer our whole life to him and his service, so that the Lord, in feeding us now, may use us and all we have to feed the multitudes. The offertory awaits. Let us put on the paten all we have. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.